this thought, I won't let my faith be shaken. I won't let my faith be shaken. Brothers and sisters, let's tell the truth and shame the devil. Life walking with God is nothing but a faith fight. I want to try that for the hearing impaired. Life walking with God is nothing but a faith fight. And if we tell the truth, it is constant warfare. That sometimes life can batter you and shake your faith in ways you couldn't really explain or even imagine. It's a great battle, church, to keep your faith intact when your faith is being challenged. And I think we have to understand that anytime a challenge arises in our lives, challenges from God is always connected to divine purpose. That let me lean in and tell you, God is using challenges to bring revelation and also a better relationship with his people. One thing you'll discover about God, God never wastes purpose. So because he never wastes purpose, he never wastes trials. He always, if I had time, I'd run you to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, where it talks about, and we know, or the Greek translation is we can know. We have the ability to know that all things work together. That Greek word synergeo talks about this synergism, where he takes a mixture of the good and the bad, and when he mixes it together, it works out for good because it's connected to purpose. And so I can suggest with confidence, because faith that isn't tested is a faith that's never authenticated. And here's the truth. Some of our faith is kind of like how it used to be when I was in high school. I went to Hastings High School in A-Leaf, and there were times I would watch couples who they look happy. You know, they were smiling, and I saw a guy that tell a girl, girl, I was thinking about you. I was in Sharpstown Mall, and you was on my mind. And she really, yeah, you was on my mind, girl. So I spent my money and bought you this gift. Pulls out this nice, shiny necklace, and she got happy. He put the necklace around her neck. She put her hair back, and kissed him on the lips. PDA in the school. They went to class. 2 weeks later, you heard a commotion in the hallway. We run over there. What's the commotion? You told me you love me. I do love you, girl. I've been wearing this necklace, and I took a shower in this necklace, and my neck turned green. Because what looked like it was shiny, when it was put under a storm, you found out it was gold-plated, which some of our faith is just like that. You know how to praise God when things are good, but when things look bad, then that's the real mark or test of how authentic your faith really is. Brothers and sisters, here's the truth. Faith is not tested when things are good. You do not deal with faith challenges until it's just that. It has to be a challenge. And the truth is, challenges are tests of our faith. Never feels good. I know you walk around lying, talking about how you're not just blessed and highly favored. There are some days I don't feel blessed and I don't feel highly favored, because the pressure and the weight of my warfare can really consume you. But brothers and sisters, you got to understand, it's always connected to conflict, and it can produce fear and doubt and unbelief when your faith is not grounded the way it needs to be. Brothers and sisters, when you aren't dealing with major bumps and traumas and bruises, it's easy to believe that God is with us and he loves us. But when challenges come, then it's hard for us to maintain that level of faith in God. Brothers and sisters, strange as it may seem, one of the primary purposes of being shaken by suffering, watch me, is to make you more unshakable. Which means God will use circumstances to shake your faith, so that after your faith grows, the next trial that you go through, your faith won't be shaken.
I just wish I had a 10-member church that'll help me testify. I know how that feels because I've been in seasons where every time I turned around, it seemed like my faith was shaking and I'm wobbly and I'm lethargic and I'm trying to figure out, God, what are you doing? Only to discover that after I came out of what I was going through and looked back, I realized that God wasn't trying to destroy me. He was trying to develop me. Brothers and sisters, faith is like muscle tissue. If you stress it to its limit, it actually gets stronger, not weaker. Can I tell y'all a story? Some of y'all looking bored. Can I tell y'all a quick story? So I told my trainer in December, I said, my goal for 2024 is I want to put on more weight, more muscle. He said, you want to do what? I said, I want to put on more muscle. He said, Kareem, I don't think you know what you're asking. I said, yeah, I do. You just got to bench, you know, bench a little more, you put on more muscle. He said, He said, you a pastor, so let me give you an analogy. I said, okay. He said, if you really want to build tissue, I got to rip some. Wait a minute. I thought that I put on muscle by drinking some muscle milk and putting, you know, a couple 45s on each side and doing 3 reps of 10. He said, What you got to do, you got to send your muscle through some rigorous training, and in order for me to give it strength, I got to rip it, which means, brothers and sisters, you don't really know what strength is until your strength has been taken. You don't really know what endurance is until you've been stretched to your limits, where you tell God, if one more person say one more thing to me, I'm cussing everybody. Y'all don't want to talk to me. That's when you know you at your limit. And God will stretch your faith. I'm finna cuss in your church. Don't put me out. Until he gets the best out of you. And some of you, watch me, have not reached your peak yet. So God keeps working on you. He keeps stretching you. Keep sending you through trials. And keep sending you through tests. And keep agitating your faith. Because ultimately God wants to produce what he designed in you. When your faith, watch your voice, Corinne, is threatened and tested and stretched to its breaking point, the result is greater capacity to endure. And God loves faith so much that he will test it to its breaking point. Watch me, so that he can keep it pure and strong. God so values our wholehearted faith that he will graciously, if necessary, you're not gonna like this, but buckle your seatbelt. He'll take away everything else in the world that will tempt you to rely on it. I ain't done. It gets worse. Even if it's your life. Because anything you put before him, even if it's your life, it becomes an idol. I just need good Bible readers in a seminary school to help me testify. Our God is jealous. He has a right to be jealous. And he said, I will not let you have any other God before me, even if it's you. So his aim is that we grow deeper and stronger in our confidence that he himself will be all we need. All right, I'm where I need to be in 20 minutes. When you look deep into this text, I want to put my seminary work training, so just in case. What we see is that Satan attacks the people of God, and God lets it happen. But he lets it happen because his plan is to get glory out of it. And then he gets the glory, but we get the testimony of what it looks like to go through a faith test and come out. So I got a couple points. I'm breaking a rule, but I got a couple points. Here's point number first. I won't let my faith be shaken despite the warfare. Jesus knew the attack that was about to be launched against the disciples. This verse reveals spiritual warfare in the area of temptation. Watch the text. Text says Satan begged God to let him try the disciples. Y'all like the Bible?
Yeah.
Right, I'm in verse 31. Yeah. Simon, Simon, Satanas, the accuser, has demanded, that word demanded, another trend, the New American Standard says desired. It is exitao. It literally means to beg for something to obtain by asking, which means the devil is not his own agent in your life. He cannot just show up at your address whenever he feels like it. Anytime the devil shows up, it's because he's on assignment, and whether you like it or not, God gave him the GPS to get to you. No, the text proves it. Satan begged for permission. And Jesus pictured Satan as begging permission of God to trip the disciples. Now, if you like good teaching, you can probably help me preach when I ask you, where did we hear a story like that before? It's in the book of Job. The Bible is clear, church, in its teaching that God is supreme, and anything that goes on in the universe goes on because God allows it, even temptation. What? Wait, wait. He's not the cause, but he does allow it. The Bible said he does not tempt man to sin, neither can he be tempted. When man is tempted, it's because he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed, but God will allow it. It gives us then this behind the scene view of a conversation that took place in the realm of the spirit. Satan is subject to God and has no right or power to tempt believers unless God gives him permission. So the warfare is because Satan wants us. Wait, now, if you do a little more research, the word you in the Greek is in the plural. Try it again. He said Satan has demanded to have you. But he wasn't just talking to Peter. He says, I want him as the head, but I really want all of them. So the devil don't want to just discourage our president. He wants to discourage everything connected to him, because if you cut the head off, the body dies. Satan wasn't just after Peter. He wanted all of the disciples. And many times we wonder why the bottom seems to fall out in our lives, and why are we being attacked on every side, brothers and sisters? It's because the enemy is on assignment to shake our faith. Say, prove it. All right, watch what he says. He says, the permission that I'm asking for is to sift. The Greek word is siniazo. It means to shake, to sift in a sieve in order to separate the good grain from the chaff. So to be sifted like wheat then is a metaphor of being shaken apart. That what Satan is trying to do is to ruin Peter and the apostles, watch them, and leave them in pieces. So he's trying to shake the foundation of our faith loose so that we don't believe God. I never forget when the pandemic hit and we went virtual in the seminary. Dr. Hunt said, no, we're going virtual because I can't afford, because if I get, this is what he said, if I get sick, I'm out of here. And I said, Dr. Hunt, don't say that. No, Kareem, listen, we going virtual because if anything happened to me, I'm out. And he got sick. But he still, Okay. Y'all don't want it. I won't even mess with it. Satan wants to shake your faith apart. Why is that important? Because what it says to me, if a man with underlying issues who believe if he caught this virus would kill him, is a walking testament that you can say one thing, but God can say something else. And I want to ask y'all a question that's in the Bible. Whose report, preach Kareem, will you believe? I don't care what your circumstance looks like. It's nothing but a faith fight. Let me go further. I've seen this man say this is the program we getting ready to initiate, but we don't have the money. But 2 weeks later, the program started. Hey, Dr. Hunt, how did that happen? He gave the whole class a clue. 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning, he's locked in a prayer closet, writing journals. Y'all don't want to talk. Telling God everything that he's believing for God to do. He put it, watch me, I'm going deeper. He put his request in the cloud. And faith activated and brought it into manifestation. If I was a good seminary teacher, I'd probably say something that goes like this. When you learn how to put stuff in the cloud and he brings it into manifestation, it kind of sounds like this. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth as it is. And could it be that what you want from God, God has already put it in you. He's just waiting on you to ask him, put it in the cloud and I'll bring it into manifestation. Brothers and sisters, here's the deepest thing I'm going to say in the next 14 minutes I got, and I'm sitting down. No matter what you do, hold on to your faith. Wait, I got one more testimony. When Dr. Hunt called me and said, Kareem, I'm starting a class for church development, pastoral development. I said, yes, sir. I need you in that class. I said, yes, sir. I showed up. It was just me. Wow. Dr. Hunt comes out, put his little clip mic on, turned the screen on, sat down and looked at me, and I looked at him. I said, sir, where the class? He said, I'm looking at it. No, wait. I said, Dr. Hunt, wait. Why you call me to be in this class? He said, because I needed to get you by yourself because now you can't hide on your phone. Now watch me, because let's tell the truth. I need all the pastors, take your church face off and let's be honest. You ain't going to teach no class to no one joker and give it your all. No, you ain't. You see one joker in the class, this class is canceled today. This joker purposely put one person in the class. And in the next 6 months, the class grew from me to over 20 people. Whatever you do, don't lose your faith. 12 minutes, Kareem. Satan's primary purpose, I got one more service today. Satan's primary purpose in tempting, watch me, is to disgrace and cut the heart of God. He does this by challenging God to remove the sense of his presence and blessings from the believer. Satan wants us to feel that but the believer will fall and turn away from God. That's why it's a faith fight. Can I go further and see if y'all like it? If the devil was only comfortable with our sins, we'd already be gone. He ain't comfortable with your sin. What he wants is your faith. Because if he gets your faith, you won't repent. I can't get nobody to help me talk. If Dr. Rose had the mic, the conversation would probably sound like this. Jesus dealt with our sins, past, present, and future. Sin ain't the issue. The issue is, do you believe God? He suggests to God that the believer won't stand by faith through the trials of life, no matter, especially without the evidence of some physical or material blessings, because the only reason most of us hold on to our faith is because of what we're going to get out of it. I want to ask you a question, T.E.B. Is your faith enough to hold on to without anything tangible? If I had time, and I don't, I only got 11 minutes, I would tell you one writer in the Bible says, whatever you do outside of faith is sin. You think it's just sex. You think it's just drinking and smoking. That ain't it. Anytime you do something that's not connected to faith, God says, I don't honor it. How do you know? Hebrews 11 and 6. Without faith, preach Kareem, it is impossible to please God. If it's not connected to faith, it's vain. I'm done. I'm not going to let it shake my faith despite the warfare. Here's my last point. My faith won't be shaken because I have an intercessor. Let the church shout, I have an intercessor. Let me show it to you in 10 minutes in verse 32. Jesus said to Peter, hey, Pete, it is a fact you're going to fall. Try it again. Peter, this is a proof, because Pete, you know, he was impetuous. He says, listen, I don't care what the rest of these guys do. I'm rocking with you all the way to the grave. Jesus turned around, put his hand on his hip and said, bro, the devil has already asked us to get you. And Pete, bad news. Yes, sir. We gave him permission. You're going to fall. Let's shout right here. But the fall won't be final. Preach. Wait. Hey, Jesus. Hey, Jesus, I got a problem. I'm a little slow, so maybe you can help me. Hey, Jesus, you are what the scholars call, this from Dr. Hunt, he'll love it. You are what the scholars call the homoousios. You are of the same substance as God. You are Alpha and the Omega. You the beginning and the end. Now, here's my problem, Jesus. Why didn't you stop me from doing it? Y'all don't like it. If the devil had a conversation with your daddy about me, why didn't you tell the devil he ain't gonna do it? He says, you're going to fall, but here's the element that's gonna keep you happy. I prayed for you. All right, that don't mean nothing to you. Normally, when we look at prayer, there are a few words. There is echo my normally deals with petitions or requests. Then there is prosukamai, which is prayers that are prayed to God. That's not this word. This word is deomai. It literally suggests that Jesus is the believer's intercessor. Okay, let's see if we can paint the picture of what intercession looks like, and I'll get out your hair. Please note, in verse 32, all four instances for the word you and your are singular. So Jesus is directing this particularly to Peter. You gonna fall. But I prayed for you. Intercession looks like this, and I'm finished. I got 7 minutes. I'm gonna give you some time back. Intercession means he stands between you and the blow. Come in. That when he prays for you, what he says is, even though you're going to feel the bump, I'm not going to let you fall backwards. I'm going to make you fall forward. Preach. Which means I'm never going to let you fall at a level that I can't catch you. Which means, church, sometimes you got to understand that when Jesus is praying for you, whatever he's been praying for is already done. I just wish you would just grab you a good neighbor. Look them in the face and tell them, neighbor, I don't care what you've been going through. Jesus has already prayed for you.
He prayed for me. He prayed for Pete. He says, I want you to know that I prayed for you, but here is my prayer, and I'm done. I pray that your pistis does not fail. Let me make it make sense. Pistis, the Greek translation is the foundation or the surety of trust in Jesus Christ. Watch this, as Savior. Let me put it together. Pete, you're going to fall. But the fall is not going to be final because I already prayed for you. I stepped in between you and the devil's plan to completely take you out. So even though you're going to fall, he can't wipe you out. But here's the caveat. I want you to remember, while you're on your way down to this fall, I'm the Savior that's going to pick you up. Preach. Wait, that's the power of the text. Notice the last thing he says, and I'm done. So now that you know what a fall looks like, don't get highfalutin. Can I kareematize the text without getting in trouble? Don't toot your nose up at people that's drinking Patron, because you remember them days. Yeah.
Thank you for them dollar store claps, but that's a clear indication that many of us forgot where we came from, because we've got this proclivity to turn our nose up at people as if, when they've been in church long enough, they should have got it. How long did it take you, silly rabbit? He says, when, because you're going to change, when you are converted, watch this, now your faith dilemma becomes a testimony for somebody else to suggest there's nothing God can't snatch you out of. If your faith is being shaken, it's not the end of the world. You need to shout for this reason. You're in the best place of development, and know that God is going to get the best out of you. It might hurt, but he's going to get the best out of you. It might be hard, but he's going to get the best out of you. It might stretch you to your limits, but you got to be willing to be stretched and know that God will get the best investment on his return.